Good morning. Thank you for spending your morning here with us on the Sunday edition. I am still joined by Violeta Zdravkovic, and we are talking about corporate fraud. Violeta, you're with O'Keefe, and you're a money manager, and you look at financial issues, and you have become a super sleuth as well in some cases as we're talking about corporate fraud. Imagine the business owner who has a trusted employee, and after whether it's 18 months or 5 years or longer, it comes to light that this employee's been stealing from them. And in the case we talked about before we paused, $400,000 before it came to the top. That's a kick in the gut and has to mess more than just with the finances of a company, but with somebody's head. Am I doing the right things in running my company, right?
Right. It does take an emotional toll.
In a lot of businesses, especially smaller businesses, 250 employees or less, or even 100 employees or less, the employees are like family to the owner.
Correct.
And to know that one of your family members could have been stealing from you, I know the insurance policy in most cases will take care of the financial loss, but to rebuild your business on another level is a whole different game, isn't it?
It is. It's a violation of trust. So then that makes it difficult for you to trust others. And you wonder who else could be doing something like this.
Right.
Within the organization.
How do we protect ourselves? I know insurance policies in case it happens. But what's the preventive medicine? What are the screenings that we can do to keep from getting this illness?
I said that there's the elements of the fraud triangle. You have to have the pressure and the mm-hmm. rationalization. Obviously, you can't do anything to eliminate the pressure and rationalization, but what you need to do is you need to reduce the opportunity.
Okay.
And by reducing the opportunity, you reduce your fraud risk. So you need to set a tone at the top that there's zero tolerance for this type of behavior, and discovery of it will be dealt with harshly. Then you need to make sure that there is proper segregation of duties. No one employee should be responsible for all the major job functions.
Right.
In this case, can you imagine if somebody else mailed the checks out?
Right.
Or even reconciled the bank statements?
Right.
The fraud may not have occurred, or it definitely would have been detected a lot sooner.
Yes.
Do job rotations. Make them take mandatory vacations. Because that also leads to a discovery. So if the person is not doing their job, the fraudster not doing their job, somebody else that slips into their job, even momentarily, they could discover something. And it's like, this is not right. And, the fraudsters, they like to have complete control. They're not willing to share their responsibility for fear of discovery.
Of course.
So do data monitoring. Make sure, that they are aware that, hey, we're going to monitor whatever you do, or, do surprise audits. If they know
that's
that,
a good one, too.
If they know at any time that you can do a surprise audit, that increases the detection, and they may decide the risk of getting caught is not worth worth committing the act.
A lot of people don't think they'll ever get caught. I mean, that's why the prisons are full.
That's right.
But if there are systems of checks and balances in place and those mandatory vacations and someone else will be taking over your job for a week, I think that people would be less likely to commit these crimes, these corporate frauds, because there's a greater likelihood of getting caught.
Right. And another good thing to have is to have a tip hotline. The Association of Certified Fraud Examiners publishes a report every couple of years, and it compiles statistics of all the certified fraud examiners, of the cases that they've worked on. In all those cases, 40% were detected based on tip. Now, remember my case?
Yep.
Now, somebody...
That's right. The person at the bank, that's
so
right.
40% employees can exhibit behavioral red flags, and people may notice it within the organization and maybe without, outside of the organization, but maybe they don't want to report it for fear of falsely accusing them or repercussions. It gives them an opportunity to report anonymously. Yep. 40% is huge.
Yes.
It's a big statistic.
And imagine if there was an opportunity to do that anonymously within each company, that statistic, I'm guessing, would be much greater, don't you think?
Right.
Wow. These are great tips for businesses because, I mean, you're running a business, you work hard, you're at the head of your leadership team, and all of a sudden you realize someone you trusted shouldn't have been trusted. And maybe for 20 years they were trustworthy.
Right.
But then they met the other criteria. Something yes. happened in their lives and a switch flipped. And now all of a sudden they're in over their heads. You didn't notice. What do you do? So some safeguards can prevent a lot of this, right?
Correct.
Oh, it's a big can of worms, isn't it, Vi? It really is. Do you have any other suggestions for companies? Like how do you handle it? You within a company, and I know every business is different, but with the rest of the employees, I'm not talking about externally, whether you go public with it and press charges, but with the other employees, how do you acknowledge that? You don't want to be slapped with slander and libel suits or anything like that. You want to keep morale up in your company, but if everybody pretty much knows somebody's been stealing from the company, as a leader then, what do you do to discourage future corporate fraud and make sure that everybody else knows, yes, I'm watching you, but you're still part of this team.
Right. Well, you know, the first thing that you need to do is when you discover that there is suspicion of fraud, you don't alert the fraudster of this.
Right.
Because you don't want to alert them. You want to gather the evidence to make your case.
Right.
You know, you don't want to fall.
Makes perfect sense.
Because there's a difference between committing fraud or being incompetent.
A big difference, yes.
Yeah, so maybe somebody's just incompetent. So you want to make sure you gather the evidence, and you definitely don't want to alert them so they can destroy evidence.
Right.
Okay. But you also want to talk to your attorney to make sure you're not violating any employment laws.
Perfect.
That'll set you up down the road for a wrongful termination Ooh. Lawsuit. And they can also help you with the disciplinary phase. You also want to hire professionals like certified fraud examiners, forensic accountants.
Absolutely.
They are trained to investigate and detect the fraud.
Okay.
And they know what to look for, where to look for. They know what evidence they need to gather. And they also present third-party credibility. Like in our case, you know, our report was presented to the insurance company. It was outside, you know, third-party
right.
credible. And the other important thing for using these outside professionals is you don't know who else within the firm is involved in the fraud. So you don't
yes.
want to use internal professionals
oh, boy,
to do
oh, boy.
That. So, and then, you know, like I said, you notify your insurance company because there may be a statute of limitations, mm-hmm. and you may be covered by the policy, so you want to notify them. And then you need to figure out how to deal with the employee, you know, what disciplinary action.
Yes.
And you need, you know, whether it's terminating them, prosecuting them, so you need to set an example that this is not going to be tolerated, so
right.
other employees, you know, don't think that they can get away
okay.
with it, too, that
right.
it's okay.
This has been so fascinating. Will you come back another time and we'll talk about this more because it's just so interesting?
Sure.
I'd
be glad to.
Thank you. I'm so grateful. Vi Zdravkovic with O'Keefe talking about occupational fraud. I think you've saved a lot of people a lot of heartache and a lot of money. Thank you for spending your morning here with us.
Thank you for having me.
And thank you for spending your morning here with us as well. Once again, I'm Alisa Z. You're listening to the Sunday Edition.